These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people... I blanked. Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, here we go. Final hour of Felger and Maz, a Felger-free edition of Felger and Maz. Excuse me. Before we get back to your calls, just a reminder that the annual Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive is Saturday, July 14th. That is this coming Saturday, just a few days away. You can donate from 10 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon at the Best Western Hotel in Woburn. And the first 80 donors will receive a coupon for a free appetizer from Waxy O'Connor's. You're also welcome to walk in. You don't have to make an appointment. But if you would like to do that, you can do so at redcrossblood.org. Redcrossblood.org. This is obviously a good cause. They can never have enough donors. And particularly those of you with blood type O, which I think, not to get like into the science of it, Murray.
No, get into that science, man.
But I believe people with O blood type are the universal donor. Right. In other words, anybody with blood type can accept O blood.
Okay.
Okay. So if you're an O type blood person like me, I'm O positive, I believe. You are a universal donor, and that fits with my personality, Murray, because you know I'm a very giving person.
I was going to say, I can't imagine you a positive anything.
So there you go. Well, the positive part is debatable, Marshall, but the universal donor part, I'm a giving guy, Marshall.
Yeah, okay.
That's just what I am. The Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive again, Saturday from 10 to 3:30 at the Best Western in Woburn. So it'd be very much appreciated if you decided to donate and participate. And we all know that the Red Cross would be very much appreciative as well. 617-779-0985. We will get back to your calls here immediately on the topic of the day. Sean is in Hingham. Sean, what do you got?
Hey, guys. So I want to go through my 1-4 like you guys have been doing. One, I'd still say the Patriots. I mean, if Brady say he has 3 years left, I think one good draft can kind of turn a lot of things around.
So, Sean,
guys in that league.
Yeah. let me just, because there are people who just tuned in, so let me just say that the list you are giving, we asked a question earlier in the day of which teams in town inspire the most confidence in you as a fan right now, right? And so you put the Patriots first. Keep going.
And then... And I think that, you know, the coaching is so bad in that league. Bill Belichick is in a league of his own. I think that's a huge factor. There's really no other great coaches in that league. I would say the Celtics. I put them behind the Patriots because... Like, you
yeah, Sean, I'll tell you what. I'm going to put you on hold just because you're breaking up. But don't go anywhere because we will... I'll bring you back in here as soon as you get into a better cell area. Dan is in Northborough. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, a couple things. I'll be quick. So number one... I think the question of a list is impossible to answer if you don't put a number on for the next 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, where do you get the most confidence from? Once you quantify that, I think it's easier to do it. I think my piece is that we've only seen Brady and we've only seen Belichick essentially like only seeing a woman on her wedding day. So when you've got a team of people doing your makeup and doing your hair, you can make anything look great. So we've seen Belichick, who is a fantastic coach, don't get me wrong, with Brady, who is the greatest quarterback of all time. And the inverse of that is true as well. So we've seen Brady, greatest quarterback of all time.
Okay, so Dan,
coaches of all time.
Dan, you're losing me a little bit here. What do you put emphasis on, the short term or the long? Right now, which team do you feel the most confident about?
Most confident long term, Celtics. Second, Red Sox. Third, Patriots, and candidly, I don't know anything about hockey, so I have to leave the Bruins out of the conversation. But the other point that I wanted to make: did you have more confidence in the Red Sox last year going into the playoffs, knowing they won the East, or do you have more in terms of ultimate season outcome? Do you have more confidence right now with the Red Sox not quite to the All-Star break?
Dan, I would tell you it's the same for me. It's the same now. Actually, a year ago at this time, I might have said last year because I thought Sale would be good in the playoffs.
I did too, yeah.
And so by the time they got to the end of the regular season, Sale was out of gas, and then he sucked in the playoffs. So what do you want me to tell you? Like, I can't look at it now and all of a sudden think they solved the problem. And I particularly, Murray, found the Sale struggle in August and September last year frustrating because, and look, I think you'll vouch for me on it. I said at the beginning of last year.
You did.
This guy has a history of fading. He has a history of fading in August and September. And so you know what? They need to be careful with him. And it felt to me like they ran him into the ground. So then they got to August and September, and he had nothing left, and all of a sudden it's like, well, what did you think was going
to
happen?
Now, to Alex Cora's credit, though, he has managed him better in terms of getting him out of games when he can, because, again, they're facing wretched team after wretched team. He's done a better job of that, and they should be cognizant of that.
Agreed. But I also don't know if it'll have an effect yet in August and September.
Yeah, we don't know. But right now, they're playing it the right way, as it was. What was the first game against Kansas City? They were up 8-0 after, like, two innings. After, you know, I wanted to half-jokingly tweet at the time, like, get him out now. He only pitched six innings. But, like, you know, when you're up that much on a bad team like that, get him the hell out.
Okay, so look, they've done a good job at it. The question is whether or not it will pay off. So, and we're not going to know that until the end of the year. It looks good now. But what if Sale is just one of these guys that hits a wall in 180 innings? I mean, what if that's it? What if there is no way around it?
Oh, and they're screwed.
So in that case, what you have to do is build in a month off for him in the middle of the year. Now, this is the Wednesday before the All-Star break. I told you this. I'd be curious to see if someone asked it over at Fenway Park tonight. Would Sale pitch him tonight? Don't pitch him till the fifth game out of the break. Give him 2 weeks off. Give him 2 weeks off right now. And if he's a little rusty coming out of the break, I couldn't care less. They're 3.5 up on the Yankees. They are. They're playing for September and October. They get 64 wins already. Like, I'm not worried about Chris Sale getting 20 wins or 18 wins or anything of the like. Give him the break now. You need him sharp in September and October. Duke is in Bedford. Go ahead, Duke.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I want to talk to you about the Celtics. I think the Celtics are definitely number one. But with that being said, if Kyrie can't commit, you have to trade him. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Two, I have faith in Bill Belichick. I mean, yeah, we traded away the quarterback of the future, but you got to believe in Bill. He's brought us 5 Super Bowls. Tom should have been traded. Three, Zdeno Chara. He's got to go. Too old. And four, David Price. Biggest prima donna going. Need to unload them. I agree. Socks are going nowhere. I'll hang up now and listen to you. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, so on Chara, I'm surprised as many people are down on Chara as they are. He's not a franchise defenseman anymore, but he's still pretty good. I mean, he's not the problem. I don't think, Murray.
No, not at all. No, I was hoping that they would bring him back on a 1-year deal. You know, they were right to. He had an excellent year last year. He had a good playoffs, or at least in that first round against Toronto, rubbing out Austin Matthews. He had an excellent year. I can't believe it's because of the age, 41. Yeah, it's going to catch up with all of us, but right now, still playing at a high level. I hated all those takes except the last one, what he said about David Price.
Right, because we know, Murray, that you just love Price in particular. Let's go back to Sean and Hingham, see if his connection's any better. Sean, you there?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Go ahead.
All right. And then three, I would say the Bruins because of Sweeney. I don't have all the confidence in the world in him. Four, the Red Sox because there's just no farm system. We know how important that is in that league. And two, the Celtics because I feel like those super teams, they can just happen overnight. Even though the Celtics are in good shape, what happens if Kyrie walks and say him and Kawhi and Jimmy Butler go somewhere in the East or even in the West, all of a sudden you have another team to compete with?
Okay, so look, Sean Sill is the Patriots first, and I can't disagree with that one either. I considered that. Like, when you say, which team do you have the most confidence in? And maybe this says something like, I look at the Patriots and say, relative to other years, I don't know how many times I've said this, Murray, but I have less confidence in the Patriots than I have had in them in a long time. A long, long time. Because it just feels broken to me on some level. Now, broken does not mean destroyed, but that it's not operating at peak efficiency like it has in the past. Even so, if the Patriots are in the Super Bowl again, is it shocking?
No, not at all.
I mean, not the least bit, because you know that come game time, Belichick and Brady will be focused. They will be dialed in. I mean, I believe that. And in my core and in my heart, I believe that. And a lot of this nonsense has driven me crazy of late, particularly with the quarterback. But I do believe that when it's time to go to work, those guys will go to work. The other organizations in town, I still have some doubt. And with the Celtics, it's Kyrie-based. I do. I look at the Celtics and say, that guy, he could undermine the whole damn thing. He could really screw them over. And I question Kyrie's commitment. I'm not confident in Kyrie yet. I'm not. Once he signs, I'll be confident. At the moment, I'm not. We will we'll continue with your calls when we come back.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's go back to the Super Bowl. Do you know why Malcolm Butler didn't play? It's what all of you want to know. You can moan and groan all you want. They want to know the answer to that.
Yeah. Well, I don't make the decisions.
Mamby-pamby.
I'm telling you the truth. You know, I wish you would have played, but, you know, the coach decided not to play him, and, you know, we still had a chance to win. How do I look at that?
Do you know why he didn't play, though? Seems to be a major mystery here.
I haven't gone and discussed those things.
Let's all take a moment to consider his words.
I agree, Marshall.
Is that the whole thing, Billy? You lock up on yourself?
Literally just stopped.
Okay. Well, that was kind of an awkward development, don't you say?
This radio is a fickle medium.
So that is Tom Brady with Jim Gray. Billy, does it finish out, or can we get it to go again or not? Because the end of it's the best part.
Oh, I'll finish, Tom.
Let's go back to the Super Bowl. Do you know why Malcolm Butler didn't play?
Take two.
It's what all of you want to know. You can moan and groan all you want. They want to know the answer to that.
Yeah. Well, I don't make the decisions.
Mamby-pamby.
I'm telling you the truth. You know, I wish you would have played, but, you know, the coach decided not to play him, and, you know, we still had a chance to win. How do I look at that?
Do you know why he didn't play, though? Seems to be a major mystery here.
I haven't gone and discussed those things. Do you know why he didn't play? You like to tell me?
I don't have access that you do.
Yeah. Well, I don't ask, so.
Well, I can't say I blame Tom Brady for not asking. And, you know, there was a point in that interview with Jim Gray, because, you know, Belichick would have snorted and grunted at him, picked his nose and flicked it at him, for crying out loud. But there was a point in that interview with Jim Gray where Brady actually said, you know, I looked up at one point, you know, Malcolm was on the sideline. I thought, what defense could we be in that Malcolm isn't on the field? Because he only played 100% of the snaps most of the time, or 98% and a half over a three-year period. Like, so Belichick's ego got in the way. But again, this is another one of the things that has happened with the Patriots over the last year. And a lot of this does. It goes back basically a year now between Belichick and Butler and that whole negotiation and the Garoppolo trade or not trade and then trade in the middle of the season. Brady in his comments at the end of the TB12 Tom versus Time documentary. The Brady and Jim Gray interview, just played a cut there and some of the comments he made there. What do you say about your relationship with Belichick? I plead the fifth, Brady says. The Gronkowski rebellion, including the absolutely wacky press conference he did down in Foxborough. The departure of Danny Amendola and his comments to Mike Reese driving around in the back of a car. Nate Solder and his departure. Julian Edelman's suspension. All of the stuff that has happened to the Patriots. And you're supposed to have the same level of confidence in them that you've had in the past? No way. Now, again, relative to the other teams, I still have a pretty high level of confidence in the Patriots. But comparing Patriots to Patriots, I don't know how you could possibly feel about them like you have in the past. I don't know how you could possibly do that. Nick is in Middleborough. Go ahead, Nick.
How you doing, guys? Murray, let me just say right off the bat, I listened to you all last week, and I listened to your weekend show, and you're doing a great job, man. Really, I enjoy listening to you.
Thanks, Nick.
I'll say it real quick. I'll do my quick rankings. The Patriots are number one. As crazy as this offseason has been, I'm kind of at a point. They're going to have to lose my confidence, you know, I need to see it before I actually lose confidence. So,
Nick, do you have as much confidence in them as if you've had in the past?
No, I can't say that I do.
Okay,
I mean,
good.
It's a crazy offseason. This is the kind of stuff that we've never seen in this 18-year dynasty. It's not the kind of behavior we've seen from our players. It's not the kind of decisions made by our coach. It's crazy. But, you know, I heard you talking earlier, Maz. I hope that when game time comes, the professionalism that they're all supposed to have comes through. And It's not going to matter what happens in the offseason. It's not going to matter with all this BS that goes on. It's going to be the bottom line. Are we going to win games or are we not going to win games? Are you guys going to let this, you know, all this craziness get in the way of what you're supposed to do and do your job, quote unquote, or are we going to let it fall apart? So I guess that remains to be seen.
So Nick, just quickly, and when I say, do you have the same level of confidence that you've had in the past? And you say no. When I say good, I think that's an honest answer. Like, you don't have to wave the pom-poms all the time. It's an honest answer. Keep going. Go.
No, I agree. I think we've seen a level from the Patriots over the course of all these years, and we've as fans and as we tend to kind of get to a point, and that's what we expect. And now all the things that are going on this offseason, it's like it's foreign land to us. We don't know us as fans. We don't know what the hell's going on. It's crazy. The stuff that's going on, it's not just one thing. It's one thing after another. So, but like I said, I'm assuming with, you know, these guys' track record that when game time comes, they're going to do what they have to do to win games, because that's the bottom line. That's what we as fans want, and that's what we expect.
Okay, so Nick, look, the bottom line is you give the Patriots some benefit of the doubt, and they've earned that. They have. They've earned that. I mean, when you've had the kind of run that they have had, and they show an ability to focus when it's time to focus, I don't know how you don't...
Nobody does it better than that team. And the most important pieces in Brady and Belichick.
I mean, that is... Listen, I get that. That's a perfectly acceptable answer to me. Just don't tell me... spit in my face and tell me that you have the same level of confidence you've had in the past. You know, because there are the Bob and Eastons of the world who get all bent out of shape when you suggest that there's a crack there. The fact that it took this long to form a crack or for us to see visible cracks is amazing that it took this long. These guys were probably sick of each other years ago, and they've been able to keep it under wraps and continue to go forward. And that is a sign of a, you know, professional, committed operation. Jim is in Beverly. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Matt. Hey, before I get to my Bruin take, I agree with you. You can't have the same amount of confidence in the Patriots. And even though the AFC East still sucks, the AFC is a lot better. I mean, Jacksonville, Houston, and no one's talking about Oakland with John Gruden as the coach. I can see them, if they get to the AFC Championship game, I can see them losing that game. And with the Bruins aren't there. They're a good team. They have a good product, but when you get to the playoffs, everything changes. They need something, and I can't believe that they're not going after Erik Karlsson. There's not that many good players out there. They seem to have no interest in this guy. I don't get it.
So, Jim, again, to me, this comes back to Sweeney now.
I get why they're not into him.
Look, go ahead,
just real quick, because like, I've heard this, because he's, you know, on the trading block. The Senators want to move him, but the Senators are going to want a big return. So, first and foremost, who do you think that they'd want in a return in a deal for Erik Karlsson?
Charlie McAvoy?
Yeah, no thanks. The conversation ends right there. But beyond that, okay, yeah, great defenseman in the NHL right now, arguably top three, maybe the best. He's about to be 30 or 29. He's had foot issues. He wants an 8-year mega deal. Who would you really rather have going forward, McAvoy or Karlsson?
Okay, McAvoy.
Yeah, same
what
here.
If you could have both, Murray?
Yeah, if you could. So, okay, so that means DeBrusk has to go on the deal. What are the prospects? Like, I think DeBrusk is untouchable to me. Like, I'm not doing it. Age, a little bit of a concern. Foot injuries, a little bit of a concern. They'd want too much back. I'm good. I'm not making any kind of mega deal for Erik Karlsson.
So the fact that you'd be able to, you'd be able to sign Karlsson is going to increase the price, right? In some ways, you'd almost be better off dealing for him without a contract extension because the price would be less.
Right.
You give up less talent. But at the same time, you don't want to give up talent and not be able to keep the player. So the contract doesn't worry me. They were willing to do a big deal with Tavares. So the Bruins clearly feel like they can invest in a star player. And I love the idea of McAvoy and Karlsson 1-2.
Yeah, it's a nice luxury, but you need scoring on the second line. You need secondary scoring. That was the issue against Tampa in the playoffs. That's the more important thing for this team going forward.
So, and to me, this is why, if you are a Bruins fan, this is one of the reasons why you should still lack some confidence in that organization. Is Sweeney's ability to make that big move at the NHL level. Because he really hasn't. Now, look, the Rick Nash deal, that was a pretty big move. It didn't go the way that it could have, and maybe that's more of a reflection on Nash than Sweeney. But if you look at the longer-term moves, the non-rentals that Sweeney has made, a lot of them haven't necessarily, a lot of them have sucked. You know, Backus had a good regular season, but that's looking like a horrible contract now. And Bolesky, disaster. Jimmy Hayes, disaster. And some of the moves he wanted to make, Tavares, they couldn't get him. Now, again, hard to say he didn't close the deal because I don't think the Bruins were Tavares' first choice. But the Hanifin deal a few years ago on draft night that he wanted to trade up and get Hanifin, they weren't able to make that one. It just feels like Sweeney's fallen a little short in some of those moves. Marshall's got your headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
It'll be the Red Sox and Rangers tonight at Fenway Park, with Boston looking for a ninth win in a row in a series sweep, and they'll send Chris Sale, his 9-4 record and his 2.36 ERA, in the mound in an effort to get it. Bartolo Colon, the aging pitcher, aging, he's 45, the oldest guy in the majors, will provide the opposition. Also, if he pulls out the win tonight, it'll be 246 for his career, which puts him ahead of Dennis Martinez for the most of any Latin American in Major League Baseball history. First pitch time set for 7 o'clock. The Sox go into this one 3.5 games up on Boston. The team did make a move today, recalling Robbie Scott, the lefty from AAA Pawtucket, to make room for him on the roster. They optioned another lefty, Jalen Beeks, back down to Pawtucket. Danny Ainge.
So Robbie Scott's in the bullpen?
One would presume so at this point.
Okay, Murray, is he on the wheel of gutless bums? Is he already on there?
I believe so.
We have trouble keeping up sometimes. Just make sure all the names are on the wheel.
Well, if not, you can take Jalen Beeks off the wheel and put Robbie Scott in his.
Well, we've already got to add Workman. So I would just, the guys who are already on there, I suggest we leave them on.
Yeah, just make it a bigger wheel.
Sorry to interrupt, Marshall.
No, please. Danny Ainge, you know what he said? He said the offseason priority remains Marcus, as in Smart, in free agency. They're trying to get him to come back. World Cup finals set, Croatia. They beat England today, 2-1 the final in extra time, and that means they will play France for the cup. That'll be on Sunday morning. England will take on Belgium in the consolation game on Saturday. The update is being brought to you at this hour by doctors Robert Leonard and Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of Brian Scalabrini at 1-800-GET-HAIR. I'm Marshall Hook. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports. That'll be next update in about 30 minutes.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's fight it off.
0-2, and that one driven into left center field. That one's headed to the wall. Again off the monster. Betts turning around. Mookie Betts coming in, and he will score standing up. Benintendi with another deep drive, another double. It's 8-4.
Red Sox continue to roll right along. Nonetheless, hard to have a lot of confidence in them either when you get right down to it. And again, assessing the four teams in town as a fan right now, who do you have the most confidence in? Who do you have the least? Murray and I put the Red Sox last. Last. And in Murray's case, he seemed especially happy doing so.
I did. Yes. Yeah, there's a little bit of bias there because I'm getting quickly tired of the whining about, well, how do you not take this team seriously? It's 60-some-odd wins. How dare you put an asterisk on them? I make no apologies for it because they're a hair over 500 against playoff teams so far this year, and they've been wretched in the playoffs the last two seasons. How can you trust them, especially when none of these starters have actually won a playoff game?
Such a hater.
The bullpen is questionable at best. I don't care what the stats are or how well that Matt Barnes has looked here in the last nine games that he's made appearances in, or Joe Kelly or anyone else. Hell, Craig Kimbrell comes in, and it's not a clean ninth. He seems to be a little bit shaky. Even that last game against the National last week, which was, I think, the 2 or 3-0 shutout, whatever it was, he comes in, and he looks a little shaky. Like, that whole bullpen, questionable at best. So, yep, J.D. Martinez made all the difference in the world in the offense. Guy's a stud. Couldn't have been more wrong about him. You were right, I was wrong. But I'm sorry. The rest of them, there's an inherent sacklessness in that Red Sox team. I don't think it's changed. Yes, they're an excellent team. Arguably the best team in baseball. You can obviously make that case in terms of statistics. Yes, the Red Sox team is the best team in baseball this year. But they still got to prove it to me in October.
Let me ask you this, because I think we all agree that...
No, Marshall's angry. Here we go.
No, I'm not angry at all. That they enter the season down 0-1, as a caller earlier said, because of David Price.
Postseason, yeah.
The postseason, yeah. You guys have not thrown in the towel on Chris Sale based off...
No,
his
correct.
Only, all right? I mean, because I look at it and say that's a guy who was getting his first taste of postseason action after many years of being on a sucky team, and I think we all agreed he was not particularly well handled last year in terms of his workload. I have every expectation that Chris Sale will do well in the postseason this year. Now, obviously, I can be proven wrong, but if you made me bet on it, I would bet that Chris Sale pitches well in October.
Okay, and I'm telling you right now, I'm not sure I would bet. That's all. I just don't think we have enough evidence yet. And so, you know, with Sale, Marshall, they're doing a good job with him. Better, certainly, than they were a year ago. And there's still steps to go. What if they handle him right and it doesn't pay off?
Oh, no, I mean, there is that possibility. I just think that because based off last year that a lot of times we just throw Chris Sale and David Price into the same pot of postseason futility, and oh my God, if there is a career achievement award of sucking in the postseason, well, it should be called the David Price Award because he has won that over the course of many, many seasons on many different teams in many different situations. He has shown that you can suck no matter where or when you pitch. He's done that. Chris Sale had one postseason series, one postseason start, if I recall correctly, and one relief appearance. So I don't think it's fair, and maybe you guys haven't put them
in
the same pot.
Well, there you go, Marshall, being fair.
No, he's right to say that about Sale. It has been one postseason start, so maybe it was just jitters. Look, he's got the stuff, and I love him. Like, he's, you know, to me, I was thrilled when they got him, and, he's almost like Pedro Light to me. The rest of them, please, I don't trust any of them, especially Price. Like a caller did say, and I think correctly, they're already down 0-1 in the playoffs because he's going to make a start for you. But yeah, no, Sale, it's been one game. It's not like there's a long track record there.
Marshall,
long track record.
You're not wrong to say it's unfair to Chris Sale to lump him in with David Price in the postseason. Hell, if I were Drew Pomeranz and you lumped me in with David Price, I'd be pissed off for crying out loud. Like, that one's not fair either. But the reason, just to our listeners, the reason why we mentioned this now, we began the day by asking a question. It's a slow time of year. And so of the four teams in town right now, who do you have the most confidence in? That's it. That was the question. Who do you have the most confidence in? Very open-ended. So it's not about who's winning the next championship or anything of the like. Just which team do you look at and which team do you have the most confidence in? Murray had the Red Sox last. I had the Red Sox last. Marshall had the Patriots last. We all had the Celtics first. Okay? So, now look, even the Celtics, I'll tell you, Kyrie Irving to me, I worry that Kyrie's going to undermine the thing because I don't have confidence in Kyrie's commitment to the Celtics. Wyatt's in a car on Kyrie. Go ahead, Wyatt.
How you guys doing? I appreciate the show. I'll go quick with my rating for confidence, but then I want to touch on Kyrie. Celts, Pats, Bruins, then Sox for me. With the Celtics, Kyrie, he actually, I don't know if you guys have listened, but he did a recent interview with Bill Simmons, and he also touched on the Celtics in an interview during the season about how he literally dreams about winning multiple titles with the Celtics. Granted, that was before his injury, and his thoughts could have changed. But when he spoke with Bill Simmons right after the finals, like you, Maz, I was worried about Kyrie as well and how he would continue with the Celtics, but he spoke then, and he went up and down the lineup about how he loved every single player and how he thinks they're an absolute force. And it really, to me, it made me think he was going to sign back. Maybe he signed a two-year deal. I mean that adds three to what's going on now, and you never know where it's going to be after that. But he also spoke on, in NBA Today, guys aren't signing extensions. I mean, if anything, if guys are going to stay with teams, Paul George, he's staying with the same team, but he didn't sign an extension. He could say the same thing about Kevin Durant. It's just not how the game is working out right now. I know that Kyrie, if he'd sign an extension now, he'd be losing out on a lot of money.
Listen, it's not, I get the whole money thing and I get the extension thing. So, we all, for the most part, understand how the landscape of the league works now. You got to wait until the deal's up to max out. You got to wait. So fine. No problem. But there are these repeated stories coming out about Kyrie wants to go to New York. Kyrie wanted to leave LeBron, leave Cleveland when LeBron came back, let alone 2 years later. Kyrie wants to be the centerpiece. He wants to have the influence over the organization the same way that LeBron did, which I don't think he's going to get here. This thing was built largely before he got here. So these stories are still out there. That's the part that's alarming about Kyrie. The fact that he hasn't signed, no problem. I get it. Standard in that league. Standard. But wouldn't it make you feel better if he said, hey, look, man, this is a great thing. I ended up in a great spot.
Well, you said it before. Like, you know, lie to us. I feel the same way as a Celtics fan and seeing what this team's upside is. Yeah, I'd like to hear it. Oh, yeah, no, this is a perfect spot, best opportunity, great roster. We got, you know, great young talent and Tatum and Brown, great young coach and Brad Stevens. It's an awesome organization. Yep, no, this is going to be a place for me. Financially, it doesn't make sense to sign right now, but no, we'll be good.
I mean, really, it's just, you know.
Instead, it's just vagueness.
Oh, it worries me.
Yeah.
It does. It worries me. Kyrie's commitment to the Celtics, to me, I don't feel confident in that at all. I hope the Celtics know something we don't. But otherwise, I don't know how you could feel great. Because if he goes, I like Ainge and Stevens and all those guys, too. I like Tatum. I like Brown. But no Kyrie, forget it. No Kyrie, no championship. Okay, to me, it's really that simple. We'll do a lot of baseball, obviously, in the baseball reporters. That's at 6 o'clock. But we're going to get out now because Billy tells me we have a killer final word. That's next.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The final word is being brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deals on tires? There's only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
No one.
Nobody.
Nope.
We've got an action-packed set of final word, but first thing I'm going to do is tell you correctly that this hour of Felger Maz is being brought to you by Neshoba Valley. Check out the Sunset Tiki Bar and Grill in Westford, Mass, featuring Boston's best entertainment, cocktail selection, beachfront dining venue. Visit sunsettiki.com.
I'm going to petition to change the name of the show to Maz and Felger.
All right. Okay, Where can we vote on that? Can we get a hashtag going, like vote Benny or like vote Mazzy? Hashtag vote Mazzy.
I like it, vote Mazzy.
It's funny you mentioned hashtag vote Benny. First up.
Marshall got all pissed off about this. I was going to say something else, but I don't think I can say that.
In the final word, hashtag vote Benny. And this is the thing. Like, listen, I get it. It's killjoyish. They're just having fun. You know, the game is supposed to be fun and it's entertainment. And yeah, blah, 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 blah. But it's the same reason I'm one of the curmudgeon-y old dudes who didn't like the win, dance, repeat. Because it's like...
Murray loved it.
For a time.
And then it got a little too...
Because that means that within the framework of actually playing the game, they are focusing on something other than winning that game. And that is wildly annoying to me. Like, at some point, they had to sit there and discuss, well, if we win, you know, who's going to dance and who's going to do the filming and what move are you going to do? You're going to do the Running Man? What are you going to do? And this is not what you're supposed to be doing. And so now Brock Holt is spending time worrying about his walk-up music and holding, you know, we have the Wallach head here somewhere. He had the Benny head. He had the Benny head out on the field last night. Like, this is what he is spending his time thinking about and preparing for ahead of a game. And yes, they're 400 games up on everybody and they win games without even trying. And all of that is true. But am I really so comfortable as a major leaguer if I'm Brock Holt? I'm so secure in my job that I can take whatever starts I get and spend them worrying about my walk-up music and my Benny head. Also, Andrew Benintendi could get a single uninspiring at-bat in the All-Star game. This is what we're supposed to be focusing on. How about you just play the game and win? And if people vote for him, then they vote for him. And if they don't, they don't. And my God, the thing is over in 17 minutes. And right now, the Red Sox Twitter account, which no longer says Red Sox, but says hashtag vote Benny, I think is tweeting every 37 seconds something about voting for this guy to get into the All-Star game. Just stop, all of you. Stop. That's all I'm looking for. Stop.
I thought I had a charcoal heart. My God.
Let the record reflect that mere moments after that diatribe, the Red Sox official Twitter account tweeted, and I quote, "Won't stop, can't stop. Hashtag vote Benny."
Marshall, you're a bitter man. And you know what? Listening to that?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't take a breath.
No, I know. It's like... It's almost like an exorcism.
Oh, my God. I've heard people say to me, Maz, take a breath. I listen to Marshall. I want to pass out for crying out loud. Go!
Big lungs. Well, the very opposite of my dead cold heart, guy who has no fun, that would be Big Jim Murray in just invading the space of one Happy Walters.
This is great.
Happy Walters.
What's his name again, Murray?
Oh, Happy Walters, yes. Oh, because again, with a name like that, this is what bothers me. I've since looked this guy up because with a name, Happy Walters, with a name like Happy Walters, I'd like to think that he comes into the negotiation with the clown nose and a bag of props.
There we go. Thank you. Hey, that's all I wanted.
Before we talk about my client, want to see a magic trick? Got your nose. Reaches over to Danny Ainge, and he's like, all right, I get it. It's your thumb in your hand.
So you know what?
It turns out the guy's a finance bro. He looks like Ari Gold from Entourage. And I found him on LinkedIn. He's like a shady Hollywood producer. That's his background. He wasn't like most of these guys were lawyers at one point. This guy made like a bunch of terrible B movies and decided, you know what? I'm going to become a sleazy agent as well. He used to have Nerlens Noel. He kind of screwed him on a contract. Like this is just I heard Beal talking about this too. And you read up on this guy, like he's a bad agent. Marcus Smart's getting bad advice from Happy Walters.
So
you
Murray,
say, you know, Danny, you say, where's the money going to come from? I just found a quarter behind your ear. Happy Walters, this guy.
So, Murray, I don't know if it's because you have the horn or what, but this guy does strike me as a clown. I mean, he does. He strikes me as a clown. Now, that said.
You're damn right. That's why they call me Happy Walters. Look at this. I found another quarter behind your ear. Woo-hoo! All right, Happy. Can we just talk about Marcus Smart, please? It would be so much more fun if that's who Happy Walters was. If he was actually a clown negotiating on behalf of Marcus Smart, other than this finance bro that he looks like.
This guy's a hack. He is. He's a hack agent. He has totally screwed Marcus Smart.
Like every time he goes and talks to Danny Ainge, hey, Danny! Before we start negotiating, you want to smell my flower on my lapel? Woo-hoo! And it squirts. Woo-hoo! Like, all right, can we talk about Marcus, please? Hey, Danny! I know you're juggling the salary cap. How about I show you how to really juggle? Woo-hoo! Takes out the three colorful balls, starts like, all right, we get it, Happy. Can we just talk about Marcus, please?
Happy Walters, is that his name?
Yeah, Happy Walters. So I looked at my, like I said, so yeah, in from 1990 to 2015, film and television producer in greater Los Angeles area, so Hollywood TV and film producer. He produced motion picture films, including We Are the Millers, which grossed nearly $300 million. Other credits include Jet Li's Kiss of the Dragon and The One, My Baby's Daddy, Full Clip, Life Without Dick. Is that a Triple X feature? And he produced The Player on CBS and Rock the House.
Oh, my.
Gosh.
So the Red Sox are...
Murray's props are. They're excellent. Excellent props.
Just, you know, the thing that bummed me out, too, so when I bought this stupid horn along with the train whistle up in North Conway, I also bought a slide whistle, but it was broken. Stupid five and dime in North Conway.
And let the record reflect, you almost forgot you had the horn. It took me three times to ask you what the guy's name was before you pulled out the horn. Bartolo Colon will be providing the opposition today for the Red Sox and the Rangers. So we've dipped into the best of a little bit for Tony Maserati on Bartolo Colon's Big Melon.
An oldie but a goodie.
Paul in San Diego, go ahead.
Mav, I just want to tell you, I went up to the Oakland series. The guy I'm concerned about is Colon. I sat behind the plate, and I couldn't see Crisp out in center field. His friggin' head is so big.
Paul, the right answer is, you couldn't see center field, let alone the guy playing it. His head is gigantic. I've said this to you before. He has got the biggest freaking head on the planet. It's a pumpkin. It's a pumpkin on steroids on his head and shoulders. Seriously, the guy blocks the sun.
Does head extend to all the various features on his head?
Well, I think given the size of his head, his ears are unusually small, if you want to know the truth. Seriously, man, he is one of the most unsightly human beings I've ever seen. And I say that with all due respect. In his prime, he could throw the hell out of the ball. Seriously, he was throwing 100 miles an hour. He was awesome. But now, like, he's clearly on steroids, and his head is gigantic. It's like a freaking trash can on his shoulders. Oh, he's got the biggest head I've ever seen. Look at the cheekbones, everything, the whole head. It's not just like big around the top. It's big around the middle. Like if you took a tape measure right around his cheekbones and ran it around the middle of his face, huge. The girth of that head is gigantic. The guy's like, seriously, he's got one of the biggest heads I've ever seen.
You're not wrong there.
Oh, I forgot about that one. I don't even remember when I said that. He'd be a good guy to bring to the beach, though.
Right, you had to block out the sun. It's almost like, and I'm going to make a reference I'm sure you don't know, but maybe you do, Marshall, like old school Simpsons when they put together the ball team and Ken Griffey Jr. drinks the tonic that gives him gigantism. Yes. And he has the giant head. Here's the picture here. It's what he ends up looking like.
I'm telling you, seriously, take a good look at Bartolo Colon on the mound tonight. I told you, meanwhile, he's going up against Chris Sale. Like, as I said to Marshall earlier, it's like the number 10 if you put the two of them next to each other. You get the popsicle stick on one side and the candy apple, for crying out loud, on the other.
I tried to find his hat size, by the way. I can't find it.
Oh, my God. I'm telling you, he's got the biggest head I've ever seen. It is absolutely freaking huge. In any case, thanks to Jim Murray for being alongside. Marshall's sticking around. Baseball reporters coming up next. And believe it or not, if you are a Red Sox fan, I have something you should be happy about. Something you should be happy about. I'm actually going to start the show tonight with something positive. Positive. We'll do that after Marshall gets you caught up on headlines. Don't go anywhere. Baseball Reporters is next.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub, Beasley Media Group Station.